Then it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Alex Simmons. Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody, to Tell the Damn Story, the show that talks about all aspects of creative and writing careers, especially when we screw up, so that you don't have to. There we are, making your journey smoother, and with us always. The reason you tune in, ladies and gentlemen, the legend himself, scribe of so many characters, including his very own mythic, legendary character, Aaron Blackjack Day, 1930s soldier of fortune, African America, dealing with all of the prejudices of the day and his wild adventures. And dealing with those prejudices, well, I'll tell you, they're reminiscent of the current situation. So,
hint, 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 please, wink, wink, nod, nod.
You know what I'm saying? Say no more. Ladies and gentlemen, it's him himself. It's Alex Simmons. Hey, Alex Simmons.
Hey there, everybody. Hi, and hi to my good buddy, longtime friend, co-writer, and the father of one of my godchildren, Mr. Yes. Christopher Ryan, a scribe of many wars, including Genius High. And again, when I met this series, it was City of Woe, because Chris has his mind. See, he doesn't just do a police procedural thriller. He's got to do one that has a tie to some sort of ancient scriptures or something like that. The vast cosmos of his mind is just phenomenal. So now it is called, because I'm not even going to try to remember, it is now, instead of City of Woe and Pain, I'm like, what are the three titles, Chris?
It is Mallory and Gunner, Infernal.
Mm-hmm.
Mallory and Gunner, Purge.
Purge, right, yeah.
And in the back of Purge will be a bonus short story to round out our homage to Dante's Divine Comedy. It'll be Mallory and Gunner, Presence.
And so you got that crime thriller piece of work right there, those wonderful books there. And then he's also got, aside from Genius High and the crime thrillers, he has A Simple Rebellion.
Yes.
Which takes a look at what's been in the past a couple of years and where that potential action mindset could take us and where we're still on that journey, but wrapped up in an extremely, really good, compelling story about a man who's trying to find his place in the world. So, yep. Chris, you are an author of great prominence. Oh, you know what? I left out your greatest accomplishment. And I don't mean your children, because they are wonderful. They are wonderful.
That I conned the glorious into marrying me?
No, please. That is the con of a century. But no, the big one here in terms of product is Soul Scream Anthologine.
Yes.
An ambitious project of where not one, not two, not 12, but 30 some odd writers coming together to create a slew of horror short stories to be published in 5 to 6 volumes, and coordinated and edited by the man with the red cap and the ball on his face, right?
Hey.
Okay. And because that's just not enough. It's just not enough. 31 or some odd writers telling these individual stories. No, that's not enough. He's got to create a staff to, you know, perpetuate this publication. And then that's not enough. He's got to create a story, a subplot to the staff that is perpetuating the story. It's just remarkable.
Chris, you are
the man.
There are 5 volumes in 2024. The 6th volume will be out.
So that's our whole episode, folks.
That'll complete the story. And then we'll see. We'll see if there's demand for more of that or not. We don't know.
There you go.
But so none of that.
Obviously, we're busy. We're busy guys.
And we've got some stuff. We'll talk about what's coming in the future. Because today, we got to talk about some holiday fun.
Yes, holiday fun. And the power of storytelling in a particular way. But I'm not going to say what that is just yet. But the holiday fun. Go ahead. What is the holiday fun?
We're gonna talk about, like you said, with every holiday, there are stories. But there's one in particular that has, I would say, helped define the power of story. I really love that it is actually a ghost story, a slight horror story. But of course, as Hara always does and as Soulscream examined, it's always embracing hybrids and it's always underscoring the value of humanity, right? This tale does
Which has
all of
stood the
that.
test of time.
It has stood test of time. It has stood reinterpretations into modernization, into musical
Lifestyles.
animation,
Yep.
right? What story are we talking about, Alex
We are
Simmons?
talking about Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Yes, Charles Dickens, one
Yes.
of Gloria's favorite writers, not one of mine, with the exception of A Christmas Carol.
There
It's
you
a
go.
wonderful story. But in prepping for this show, Alex, you and I discovered there were so many iterations.
And we discovered this the way we normally do. We were just shooting the breeze, running off at the mouth.
And we started naming so many things, and then we said, let's use accented with the Google machine. And we found so many iterations of this tale in film and TV that we couldn't handle them all. There's 40 or 50 or 60 television episodes based on this. So we're not using those. But there was enough for us to engage in what we called the Scrooge Wars. So part of today is going to be Alex and I discussing. We put all, I think we put, it was about 14.
16, but that's who's counting?
Yeah, I'm not, I think when we took off the title and it turned out to be about 14. But in any
Okay.
way, we put them in brackets like it was March Madness. And we're going to battle out our choices. We'll tell you what Alex chose, we'll tell what you choose. And there's a
Yes.
component in here today, Alex. We want those of you who are watching to either open up your notepad on your phone or get a pen and paper, or preferably go down to the comments section. And as we pit these different iterations of A Christmas Carol against each other, we want to hear what your choices are, or right down to the championship.
Yeah,
Are
what's
you
your
ready? And
favorite?
then part two, stay for part two, because part two is all feedback from the audience and some of their favorite holiday stuff. So it's going to be fun. And again, it all underscores, as Alex says, the power of story. There's so many things here, and it's such a part of holidays and family time and the things that are important to us. Stories fuel life, ladies and gents.
That's right. And
Alex, you ready to have some
particularly,
fun?
I like people to think about also while we're doing this, why do you think it is that of the myriad number of holiday stories and Christmas stories in particular that exist, at least within the United States and parts of Western civilization, why is this story so popular that it has been, homaged, recreated, reinvented throughout over 100 years? So anyway, let's jump to this. Let's jump to
All
this.
right. We had
I'm ready,
brackets.
coach. I'm ready. Put me in.
All
Put
right.
me in.
Here's brackets. We had brackets.
We
And
have brackets.
what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about the two challengers and then have Alex say his choice, then I'll say my choice. And we'll get through the bracket fairly quickly until we get to the championship round. And we'll see if Alex and I have identical tastes or if we're going to battle bitterly. All
I
right. So, first up
can take him. I can,
was
coach.
a 1935 film called Scrooge. And it was pitted against A Christmas Carol from 1950. From British television, including, I think it was Frederick Mark, Marsh
March.
was the, yep. I'm going to pull out the cheat sheet that you gave me so we can have all that information available. So, yes, so Scrooge 1935 had Sir Seymour Hicks, and then A Christmas Carol 1950, British TV with Frederick Mark and Basil Rathbone. Basil did two versions. This was the first one. So, which one did you choose, sir?
I, of course, had to choose the 1935 version of Scrooge, even though it's not my favorite. It's a much stronger story, much more satisfying in a number of ways. And I got, if anything else, I got to give it production too, because the 1950s version with March and Rathbone was done primarily in a studio, and quote unquote for television, and they had limited budget and
Budget
limited
of 18
special
bucks.
effects and things like that. So, visually, it wasn't that stimulating, although
All
it's
right.
joy to see Rathbone doing something.
I chose the same. I chose Scrooge, 1935. All right, we go off to the second, and this turned out to be a titanic battle of animation. Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol from 1962 versus Mickey's Christmas Carol from
Ooh,
83.
ooh,
Yeah, that's
ooh,
tough. A lot of blood on the
ooh,
animated floor there.
ooh, ooh, because you got the mouse with the big ears and the
And you
little
got
voice,
Magoo.
and you got me, oh my God, you've done it again.
All right, what was your choice?
Okay, I had to go with this one from the heart, and people are going to think, oh, I know what he's going to choose because he's going from the heart. Now, Mr. Magoo, I went, oh my, because when I think of that film, when I see that animated cartoon, I can immediately see myself as the child I was when I first saw it, and I remember the circumstances around it, and it's just more, it's more nostalgic to me and more titillating and funny and amusing, and just that a whole attachment to the character of Jim Backus as Mr. Magoo. It's very fulfilling. It's like going to visit a favorite uncle, that sort of thing. Whereas Mickey, wonderful animation, wonderful story, but hey, Magoo won. What can I tell you? What can I tell you?
That's right. I hope everyone at home is writing down their choices. My choice,
Yep.
Magoo.
Ah.
Simply Magoo. All right, now we have to go. And Alex is going to be verbose here because it's A Christmas Carol from 1951 starring Alistair Sims, who happens to be a favorite of Alex's, versus A Christmas Carol from 1954, another British TV. This one starring Basil Rathbone as Scrooge. So Basil versus Alistair. Sim versus Rathbone. What do you say, sir?
They're both homeboy Brits. They brought their A game. I think Alistair came off the bench a little stronger because he might have been younger. He's a younger player at this particular scenario here. Rathbone, who's seasoned, he's got a lot of different roles under the belt and everything. He's a consummate performer. But I got to give it to Alistair. I have to, because he took the ball and he ran the whole field. He made the touchdown. He scored. He nailed it. So I got to give it to Alistair, and my boy.
That's wonderful. And I'll just say Alistair.
Just
You
think.
go. All right. Let's go to the other side of preliminaries. Scrooge, 1970. It was a musical starring Albert Finney
Yes.
versus Scrooged from the 80s, starring Bill Murray. Alex, what was your choice?
It's funny. Albert Finney has played a number of wonderful roles, including Hercule Poirot in Murder on the Orient Express, which I thoroughly enjoyed him in. He's not my favorite Poirot actor, but I enjoyed him in that. What can I say? It's Finney, and it's, again, not my favorite Scrooge, but I got to give it to Finney for this one. I got to give it to him. There was a song in it, which I can't remember the title of, but I will before the episode is over. That was a fun song. And I think a lot of people remember that particular film for that particular song.
Okay. This, ladies and gentlemen, is where the controversy begins
Oh.
because hands down,
Oh.
I chose Bill Murray. I
Oh,
think
step
it's a
outside.
more enjoyable film. It's one that I've watched, oh God, dozens and dozens of times more than Albert Finney. It even has a song by good friends of mine, the New Voices of Freedom. So yes, Bill
Okay,
Murray
okay,
all day. All
okay. I'll
right.
give you that. I'll give you that.
Damn right,
We were
you'll give me
cool.
that.
We were cool.
All
We'll see
right.
where this is going now. All right.
On to the next bracket. A Christmas Carol from 1984, starring His Eminence George C. Scott,
Yes. Okay.
versus Scrooge and Marley's from sometime in the 2000s, improbably starring Dean Jones. Okay, Alex, what was your choice?
Okay, I gave a little bit of background here. So Dean Jones did a lot of early films with Disney, That Darn Cat and a bunch of other things, and really enjoyed him in that. Nice guy. This particular Scrooge was not set in England, was not set in the, was it the 1800s? This was set in Connecticut and present day. And this was, again, done in early 2000s. So it didn't have some of the old world feel, although there was New England involved. Also because it was, I think, again, the budget was a little downscale. But I'm going to have to say that George brought the thunder.
Yes, he did.
George brought the thunder. Again, Scrooge is, like when you look at Mr. Magoo playing Scrooge, it's funny. It's amusing. It's lighthearted. And maybe you feel a little sorry for him because he's a little cartoon character and he's feeling bad about his life. But you're not supposed to be laughing at the character. And I think that what I got with Dean Jones' character was, okay, Dean, you're doing a decent job, but George, you didn't laugh at George. You didn't laugh at that Scrooge. That Scrooge was in pain. And so you watch that for the power and the drama of the performance. So got to give it to GC.
There you go. And I chose George all day.
All day, George.
That particular version is mandatory viewing in our house every season. And yeah, he did bring the thunder. He also is the only one that I thought was a scary Scrooge. There, especially the earlier part of the film where his vindictiveness seemed to be a little out of control. Makes it more timely than I would have thought it could possibly be. But yeah, George all the time. All right. We go on to the next bracket. Again,
jump it.
Another tough battle.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
All right, so we have from 1992, Muppet Christmas Carol versus last year's 2022's Spirited, starring Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell. That's some powerhouse talent. Could the Muppets possibly out-muscle Reynolds and Ferrell? Alex, what do you say?
Oh, I got to say, this is a tough one. This is like the Knicks going against the Bulls.
This was a game.
This is a tough game. Had good players on both sides. Big musical numbers on both sides. Twist in the stories on both sides. And if you haven't seen either of these films, you should, because they got both have something to offer. Both of them have something to offer. And if Chris and I weren't the kind of people who do not ever blow an ending for people who haven't seen a thing, I would tell you one of the twists that caught me.
Yes.
But having said all of that, I have to say that with all the joy and rapture and cleverness and production value and everything, Muppets all day.
Mm-hmm.
Muppets all day.
Well, I respected what Reynolds and Will Ferrell brought to it. But Muppets, it was an unfair balance.
It
was an unfair battle. Muppets killed them easily.
Yeah, come on. You had Miss Piggy. Come on, really? Right. That's one of the strongest players.
All right. We're going to go from bottom up now because the bigger drummer is waiting for us there. All right. So the Muppets come right out of that victory, and they have to do battle with Scrooge Christmas Carol, the animated musical from 2022. Sir, what do you say?
I'm going to say two things right here, right now, just for those people going, what the hell are these guys doing? I want to put to you this question. Have you picked up on what is amazing about what we're talking about? Have you picked up on that? Ask yourself that question, because that's a lesson for all writers, for every single writer, whether you're aspiring, emerging, or a seasoned pro with many books and plays and screenplays under your belt. But we'll come back to that in a moment.
You're going to leave that there and not tell
us?
Yeah,
I am. I'm going to leave that one dangling there. Leave that right there.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's called foreshadowing, apparently.
Yeah. Here we go. We got the Muppets and we got Scrooge and we got a musical. And once again, one has to look at what made the Muppets Christmas so enjoyable and long-lasting. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the visuals, because it is, in many ways, a family or a kid's film. In many ways, but is the characterization.
Oh, yeah.
It is what Kermit, as Bob Cratchit, represents. It is what Michael Caine, the only prominent human in the film, there are other humans in it, but he's like the lead character. It's what he brought to the table, understanding that he's 90% of the time performing opposite puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And having done that myself as an actor, I know what it feels like. No. I don't know what it feels like to get paid what he got paid,
well,
but I
hey,
do know
hey, no.
what it feels like to be facing Kermit the Frog, the puppet, and being clearly aware that you are talking to a puppet, and yet you must do what you must do. And I think that it's because they respected the story, the source material, they respected characterization and character development, and they really were trying to say something with the film. And because of that, I give them my hats off as opposed to Steve.
Oh, Muppets win. Yep.
Yep.
And what I will say is Muppets win. All right. Now we have to go up for Alex.
Uh-oh.
It is Albert uh-oh. Finney's Scrooge musical from 1970 versus 1984's A Christmas Carol with George C. Scott.
Oh, dear.
Alex Simmons, what say you?
I had a different mindset when I came into this, but in thinking about the pros and cons of both films, sorry, Albert. But I reminded myself of the power of George C. You know, I went, damn, that's right. Wow. So I got it. I'm sorry, Albert. I put some money down on you, but now I'm going to lose that money. I got to go with George.
Albert Finney laying in the alleyway behind our show.
Yeah.
Knife in the back. Because pre-show,
I'm sorry.
Alex chose Finney.
I'm sorry.
And then live, whoop, in the back, and he went with George C.
Oh, God.
There you go.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Okay. While Alex is sitting there in his shame, I have to deal with two of my favorite performers. Bill Murray. I am an unabashed Bill Murray fan. A matter of fact, part of the lead character in A Simple Rebellion is an homage to Bill Murray. And then George C. Scott as Scrooge is an astounding performance for me. The only other performance of Scrooge or of Christmas Carol that moved me as much as George's was Glorious and I one time. And of course, Glorious bought the tickets and surprises. We once saw a live performance of Patrick Stewart.
I knew you were going to say Patrick.
He of Star Trek fame.
Yep.
Doing his one-man show of A Christmas Carol. Played, I think, 24 different characters. And it was fantastic. But he did a movie version of it, which was nowhere near as magical. And he never, I think HBO or someone of those would have snapped that up in a heartbeat, let him do the one-man show, because it was fantastic. But hopefully soon, someday. But in absence of Patrick Stewart's one-man show, you have to deal with Bill versus George. And this
clearly jest, right?
It rent my heart asunder.
Yeah.
Because I love Bill, but it has to be George C. Scott. All right, now, both of us, Alex the Turncoat Simmons.
Hey.
Talk to Albert Finney bleeding in the alleyway.
I'm getting out of town, man. I'm all leaving right, town as soon as this is over.
But both of us are faced with a
conundrum?
Two brackets that are very tough.
Ah, okay.
If I remember, we left us the left bracket at the semifinals, and it had become Magoo versus Alistair Sims for you.
Yeah.
Right? And for me. So that's the left side of the bracket. And the right side of the bracket for both of us. Now, and you've stabbed Albert Finney in the back.
Never going to let you forget that, right?
Right? So now our semifinals are together. Magoo versus Alistair Sims and George C. Scott versus the Muppets. Okay, this is really tough, ladies and gents. I can't wait to see who you pick out there. Okay, let's go with Alex Simmons for Magoo versus Alistair Sims. Listen to that silence. He knows what he did to Finney.
I think I need a drink. Okay, so let's just round this off again. Remember all the wonderful things I said about the Muppets? I haven't said very much about Sims, but one of the things I really enjoyed about his performance is he felt very human. It was one of those films where, you know, sometimes Scrooge or a villainous character can be played or portrayed very much in a stereotypical way or a one or two dimensional way. And he's bad. Okay, now he's good. In this case, Sims really does create this real person who's in pain and who has become a cynic to the nth degree and is bitter. And taking those elements and making them feel real was one of the things that just appealed to me in terms of the story. Then I think all the supporting actors played Bob Cratchit, some of the kids, just really humanized performances. So they were wonderful performances. And
how did he fare against the thespian that is Magoo?
No. Frankly, I gotta say Sims here.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta say Sims. Yeah. You know, I get Jim, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know, Jim Back is the voice of Magoo.
Sure.
Jim, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right. You know how I feel about you, but yo.
That alleyway, ladies and gentlemen, is getting crowded. You got Finney there. You got Jim Backus laying there, spear in his side.
And planning their revenge.
There you
planning
go.
Their revenge.
They're crawling towards the stage door. We'll get that, Simmons. As much as I love Magoo, Alistair Simmons, a legendary performance. All right, let's go over to the other side.
Yes, let's.
A similar conundrum. Perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, a more powerful conundrum.
Ooh, here we go. Here we go.
George C. Scott in A Christmas Carol.
Versus
The Muppets Christmas Carol. Wah, wah, wah. And we turn to the savage sword of Alex Simmons to see what he has to say about his choice between George C. Scott or the Muppets.
Okay.
Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, before the show, Alex had chosen Albert Finney. So it was Finney versus the Muppets. But Finney's in the alley bleeding slowly and painfully to death. So we don't know what Simmons is going to do. He's the true wild card of this episode.
I raise my sword. If you can see it. I raise my sword.
This is what is current concern. It's a holiday program. It's a holiday episode, ladies and gentlemen. And he brought weapons. All right? That's all I'm saying.
So wait a minute. Who's in the ring right now?
George C. Scott
versus
A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Versus the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Oh, God. Kermit, I know you know how I feel about you, Kermit. You know how I feel about you. And since you know how I feel about it, I'm going with Kermit. I'm going with Kermit. I'm going with Kermit. Muppets. 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 I can't have three people waiting for me in the alley.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are nearly 300 episodes in to the experiment that is Tell the Damn Story. And that choice may have shook the foundations of our friendship. I may blink and find myself in the alley, the third victim of the savage sword of Alex Simmons. As I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as much as I love the Muppets, as much as I've been loyal to the Muppets since my father used to sit there and laugh and do this big hand clap that he would always do, watching the Muppet Show, it's got to be George C. Scott for me. It's such a great performance. Such a great performance. And ladies and gentlemen, this puts the savage sword of Alex Simmons in the humble, pure heart of your friend, Christopher Ryan, into the steel cage death match, where Alex's preferred Scrooge, Alistair Sims is facing off against my preferred Scrooge, George C. Scott. Ladies and gentlemen, take a moment.
Yes.
Think about which one you prefer and let us know in the comments below.
Remember that, Allie. Yeah.
Right? Do you prefer the Savage Ones, Alistair Sims? Or do you prefer the pure, innocent, loving Chris Ryan's choice of George C. Scott?
For those of you who are listening to this episode, you are missing. Go to YouTube. Go to our YouTube channel. And please fast forward to this section of the episode so you can see what this man just unashamedly did on camera. On camera. Okay. Take a photo of that.
Oh, hark.
Let me take a photo of that and post it.
Sing. What terrible thing is Alex Simmons about to do? What's your choice, Alex Simmons? Alistair Sims? Or the absolutely divine George C. Scott?
Hey.
Go ahead and make your own choice. A free country. You can stab as many people as you want in the alleyway.
You can keep it that way. Yeah. No, I'm going to tell you right now, we Sims have to stick together. So Alex Simmons is going to stick with Alistair Sims.
There's no suspense, ladies and gentlemen. You know who your hero is going to choose.
Yes, of course.
It's George C. Scott, the most powerful.
The most human Alistair Sims. The most pathetic Alistair Sims. The most redeeming Alistair Sims. And then remember how you feel about me.
Yeah, how do you feel about him? He's already bloodied one of some of your favorite actors. Look in the alleyway.
Recover.
Look what he has
then
done.
He'll recover.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you had some fun with that. We certainly had a lot of fun.
Yes, we did.
And again, Alex's main point here is the power of a good story. What's worth revisiting A Christmas Carol, whether in print or in your favorite version for George C. Scott, to really see why does this story work? Because it mixes holiday, it mixes humanity, the lessons of life, and the supernatural all together, and still pulls it off.
And
the amazing.
Here's the other point that I wanted to bring up, which I alluded to earlier.
Ooh.
Look at from 1935, and I understand there's ones from 1900s, early 1900s, but I have not seen those. From 1935 to 2022, how many variations, how many adaptations have been done? How many different artists came to the table, to the drawing board, to the sketch pad, to the stage, with their interpretation of this story, taking some of the best elements of it and reinterpreting other elements. This is the power of story. We don't always have to see the same story the same way. And there's also always little nuggets, little juicy moments that can be extracted from a story that's been played and played numerous times. The one thing I will mention here, in which we didn't have, there were two Scrooged, there's several that are named Scrooge, but there were two Scrooged films done around the same time. And I'm trying to look at the one that's with Dean, pardon me, the one with Dean Jones is one of them. But there was also one that was done, I think, a couple of years before that. And I'm going to pull that name up in a moment, the date and all that, which had a gay theme. And I don't mean that they were just, you know, doing something just to say they were gay. It was literally wrapped around owner of a gay restaurant or bar and some trials and tribulations that he was going through and a turning point in his life. So once again, the power of story, it can serve so many purposes and it can be of service to so many different lifestyles and groups and individuals. It's all about serving the story, finding out what's the heart of the story, and trying to be true to your characters.
And it's a good exercise to look at this in very different versions and see what the bones of the story are, because that's really why it's so open and readily interpreted in different styles.
There it is. I got it now. It's Scrooge and Marley. There was one done in 2001 with Dean Jones, and then the other version with the gay perspective was done in 2012, so 11 years later with David Pesner. So again, look at, and then the Muppets. Come on, you have puppets. So one, why do you think, please, in the comments, in the emails, whatever you want to do, reach out to us. Let us know, why do you think this story has stood the test of time and been interpreted and reinterpreted in so many ways? What is it about it that speaks to so many people over generations? That's one. And then I do want to share, Chris, when you're ready, I want to share, because pardon me, we put the word out. I in
Yeah,
Facebook
let's do that. Let's do that. Go
a
ahead.
list and had people say,
What was the question you asked people?
the question was, it was two questions. It was one, what is your favorite holiday movie? That was the first question. And the second question was, which film version of A Christmas Carol is your favorite, animated or live action? And so we got about 30 responses thus far.
Let's get names and choices. Let's see
Okay,
them
so
and
we're going to
wrap them
go through
all
this
up.
quickly. If you want to tally, folks, get ready. Because okay. So we have A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sims. Okay. Then this one
By
says,
whom? By whom?
excuse me?
Who
Oh, you want to, who said that? Okay.
Yeah, because it's probably just you, but
Yeah, I
what
love
fake
you
name
too.
did you use?
Elizabeth Sheehan.
Oh, Liz, Liz.
Yeah,
All
Liz
right,
Sheehan.
Liz.
Her
That's fine.
favorite movie is A Wonderful Life, and her favorite Christmas Carol is the one with Alistair Sims. Yes. Gabrielle Schmidt, Babes in Toyland's her favorite movie, but she loves a live action Christmas Carol, but she couldn't say which one. It just said old.
There you
So it
go.
could be 1935 or
That's
1950
okay.
something.
It's all
Who
right. No
knows?
problem.
Someone named Chris Lucas says his favorite movie was Trading Places.
Christmas. Kind of Christmas, yeah.
And his favorite Christmas carol is The Man Who Invented Christmas. I don't know that one. So,
Yeah, I've heard of that one. Good job. Good, nice
okay.
choices. Deep
Yeah,
cuts,
Amy
bro.
Gleason said A Christmas Story is a perennial favorite. She also mentioned The Long Kiss Goodnight. And then her favorite A Christmas Carol story was 1984 with George C. Scott.
What was her name?
That was Amy Gleason.
Always liked Amy Gleason.
Yeah, I figured
She, you
you
know
would.
why? Because she has impeccable taste.
Impeccable taste is, of course.
Okay, let's keep
David
going.
Suchet, as opposed to Suchet, David Suchet says his answer is to both favorite film and favorite Christmas carol is Albert Finney in Scrooge.
There you
And then
go.
The Muppets is a
Well,
close second.
what was his name? First name?
David Suchet.
David, remember what Alex did to your favorite actor
Yeah,
in a Scrooge movie. That's all I'm saying. All
that's all
right,
he's
let's
saying. That's it.
continue.
I'll talk to you later. Elijah Bean says, hang on, I'm not sure. I may be wrong. No, I think it is Claus.
Okay.
KLAUS is a wonderful new movie, right? And he also mentions Arthur's Christmas, Oliver
Sure,
and the Other
sure.
Reindeer,
That's
and
cool.
the Muppets movie. So,
Nice, nicely. Great choices, wide array. Very nicely
yeah,
done.
Joe McCarron, MCARON, McCarron, I hope I pronounced that properly, says Mickey's Christmas Carol for both.
Listen, we apologize. We killed Mickey off fairly early in our brackets,
Yeah, but
but thank you,
Joe's
Joe.
riding to the
Joe's
rescue.
showing Mickey some love.
Joe is showing Mickey some serious love.
There
Thank
you
you,
go.
Joe. Then we have Jay Cordray. Cordray, Cordray. Hope I said that one right. Oh, I love this. His favorite Christmas movie is Batman Returns.
Great. What a great choice.
And then his favorite A Christmas Carol is the one with Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you ever get a chance to see him do the one man, you'll love it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
powerful. And again, such a talent.
So, go ahead.
Carol M. Stokes says Christmas Carol is the Muppets.
Okay.
That movie, that's her favorite Christmas Carol movie, the one with the Muppets.
Yeah.
And then her favorite, oh, hang on, let me get this right here. Says Christmas Carol is the Muppets, right? Then he says
Yeah.
movies are between the, oh, I see. So yes, favorite Christmas Carol movie is definitely the one with the Muppets.
Right.
But her favorite holiday movie is
Okay.
either A Miracle on 34th Street, I
That's a
wonder which
beautiful
version
movie.
of that,
The original, right?
and or The Muppets or Scrooged. So
With Bill Murray.
got three films to choose from there.
I hope. There you go. Good.
Okay.
Grab it all. Grab it all. Yeah. It's the season of giving.
Danielle doesn't have an answer for the Christmas Carol one, but for her favorite holiday movie, it's Home Alone 1 or 2.
Nice. Nicely
there
done.
There you go.
Nicely
Home
done.
Alone 1 is my favorite.
It's great that was mentioned because we didn't mention it. Good
yep,
job.
That's true. We didn't, and we'll be forgiven for that.
That's right.
Not for what I did to Finney, but we'll be forgiven for the other.
I'm waiting for the other important Christmas movie to be mentioned. Let's see.
We'll see. Bill Gray says, I love the 1984 George C. Scott version of A Christmas Carol.
Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Bill.
Also, yeah. It's also my favorite Christmas movie.
Wham!
Wow. But he also loves A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Nicely done. Yes.
There you go.
Chuck, you got to love
there
Chuck.
There you go. Yeah, hey, can't have Christmas without some Chuck, right? Christmas time is here. Okay, anyway.
Would you like Garrett to know the true meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown?
Lights, please.
Okay. Go ahead.
Garrett Spitzer says, favorite holiday movie is Love Actually.
Wow. That's
yeah,
great. I didn't think of that. Nicely done.
There you go. And then he says, best A Christmas Carol is A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
There you go.
And then he says, actually, the 1951 starring Alistair Sims is still my fave. Spooky
what?
At a times terrifying. Yes, yes, yes.
What was this guy's name?
Garrett Spitzer.
Garrett, how much did Alex pay you? No.
Yeah, 35 years
good choice. God bless you, Garrett.
Brenda Holtz. Oh, we have an international here because
right,
this person
like
is
Brenda.
On the other side of the Great Pond.
Mm-hmm.
White Christmas 2.
Okay.
That's her favorite movie. And then her favorite Christmas carol is Alistair, Sims, 1951.
Brenda.
Yes, Brenda. Yes.
I thought we were like this, Brenda. Mm.
Janice Davis says, okay, I know that this will sound like a cliche, but it's nonetheless true. Favorite holiday movie is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, nicely
okay.
done.
Best version of A Christmas Carol is the original with Alistair Sims.
Oh.
And coming up a close second is Mr. Magoo.
Yeah. Good to see Magoo get some love. All right.
Yep, there we go. See, she should have been in on the test with us here.
Excuse me.
Okay, then we've got Greg Holmes, who
Yo,
I guess
Holmes.
Didn't have a favorite holiday film, but puts in his vote, the senator from Holmes, puts in his vote for Muppet Christmas Carol.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
There we
done.
Go. We have Zach Schofield. We have a few more folks. Just a few more. Zach Schofield Nell says Elf.
Great choice.
He's got a bunch of his favorite movies. So I think, okay, Zach, you missed the point. It was A, but okay, here we go. Elf, It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas, Meet Me in St. Louis, and Robert Howard's The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Those are his movie choices. Then, for favorite...
Christmas Carol.
Yeah, Muppets or the Jim Carrey one.
Okay, that's fine. That's good.
And wait, I'm trying to read all this. A Christmas Carol Goes Wrong is also a grandiose hoot. So I gather there is a film called A Christmas Carol Goes Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen.
All right, so he squeezed three out of that one choice.
And the most vivid version I've seen is Jack Thorne's production for The Old Vic, which is available to stream. So I gather it was a play or a live performance of some sort.
That's cool. So four choices for his favorite Christmas
folks,
carol.
Add this to
that
your
guy
list.
Knows how to take
Check
care
out.
Of business. Good job.
Mark Holmes, It's a Wonderful Life, favorite movie, and Scrooge starring Alistair Sims. Yeah.
Oh, Holmes.
There
Holmes.
You go. There you go. Okay, we've got Jeremy Kahn. Would Prince of Egypt be considered a holiday movie? If so,
if you
I'll
do,
that.
Sure.
There you go. And then as for favorite Christmas carols, The Muppet Christmas Carol is my top choice. Thank you very much. Okay, Doug Pickett. 1930s version of A Christmas Carol covers both questions. So that's a 1935. He
you
says,
imagine
but Die Hard is a close second.
What's the second one?
Die Hard.
I was waiting for it. Yes.
It's
not
it's
Christmas unless Alec Rickman falls off the Nakatomi Tower.
Yep. Oh, darn, you gave away the ending.
maybe not. Maybe not.
Okay, we have a few more. Wow, I think this list grew since I checked
it. Since you started reading, they were like, I'm going to get my name on it. Tell the damn story.
So we got,
it's going to make
go
my
a little
holiday.
Faster. A little faster. Doug Pickett, 1930s. Oh, I did right. that one. Okay. Diana Sittler. Mm-hmm. While You Were Sleeping, favorite movie. Nice. Muppets Christmas Carol, favorite Christmas Carol movie.
Excellent. 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 Thank you.
Tom, a writer who's been on our show, Sagowski, said, yeah. Okay, here goes. A Christmas Carol is my favorite. I watch it multiple versions. Oh, I watch multiple versions of it yes. before Christmas. And, Chris, how could you do this?
What, Tom?
How much did you slip him? And the George C. Scott version is my favorite.
Tom rules. He rules.
But what, did you slip him a five again? Did you?
It was expensive. It was $22. Oh, 35 cents.
The 35 is what took it over the top. Okay.
Yeah, brother.
Okay, we're playing by those rules. Gotcha. John Shableski says, definitely Albert Finney version followed by Scrooge with Bill Murray.
Yes.
There you go. So you and John can hang later.
That's right.
Diana Papasergio says, I'm sorry, no, wrong name. Diana Jessapone says, Jessapone. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Fine choice.
And Alistair Sim's version of A Christmas Carol in black and white.
Tell you what, I loved both your last names, but your choice of Sims was just...
It was perfection. It was perfection. It's obvious. Bob Hawks, who's the father of a growing talented young lady who's an illustrator artist and is studying to become an animator and all that good stuff. Bob Hawks says, Die Hard, favorite movie.
Yeah.
And A Christmas Carol with Albert Finney.
Welcome to the party, Frau.
Okay. And then we have, Piao Jung. I hope I pronounced that right, Piao. Oh, this is completely out of left field. I had not even thought of this one. Blackadder, 1983. Season, I can't make out the season, but it's episode 3, Blackadder's Christmas Carol.
That is great. What a
choice.
I
had not even thought of that one. Wow.
Deep cut.
And then we have Zach Miner saying, Die Hard. And Die Hard the Musical. Oh my god. Well, okay, now I know perfect. we got three more, so right. Let me just grab those here. Hold on, I have to switch accounts because I didn't put them all in the same account. And so here we go with,
ladies and gentlemen, while he's looking up, I just want to say thank you very much for participating. It's really fun to hear your names and to hear your thoughts. This is a lot of fun.
So here's our last three.
Here we go.
Thank you, Chris. You're right. Thank you, everybody. This is just too much fun. Garrison Eckerson says, it's a wonderful life because it's like having a feature-length Twilight Zone episode.
That's true.
And then Mickey's Christmas Carol for its gorgeous animation and charm. Yes.
In that case, we apologize.
No, I really did enjoy Mickey's Christmas Carol. And as a matter of fact, I'll finish this and then I'll tell a quick story. Emilio Velez Jr. says, Jingle All the Way. I'd forgotten about that one.
Oh, yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad. Yes, and that's Robert Conrad. Yes.
That's right.
Good stuff. So Jingle All the Way. And he says, tough one. I would say the one with Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, of course. Okay. Oh, yes. That's good. I guess that's Mickey's,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Yes. Emilio, you're the man. You're the man.
Thank you. Very well
and
done.
Then our finalist here, Paul Story, offers another one completely out of left field. No, actually, I'm sorry. This will be the second time I've heard this one. The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Sure. Yeah.
And then Scrooge starring Albert Finney.
There you go.
If only for the song, Thank You Very Much.
And Mr.
That was the one I was trying to remember.
And who left Finney bleeding in the alley?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right. So you remember when you're watching, who's your friend and who's the murderer? All right. So ladies and gentlemen, I have to segue from the word murderer to happy Christmas and happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah Kwanzaa. Yeah.
There you go.
I hope you had a good time. Please leave your comments. Oh, yeah. What are we supposed to say at the end of these episodes? Subscribe and...
And subscribe, ladies and gentlemen. We hope this lighthearted version of Tell the Damn Story told the story of how much fun we can have together. Because this was Wow, it was a lot of fun this episode, and it's mostly because of you guys.
Yeah,
murderer too, a little bit, but mostly you go. So have a happy and safe holiday, and we'll see you just before the new year for our favorites of 2023.
Take care, everybody.
Peace, love, and everything else. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, Alex.
Same to you, Chris.